and all the things that go with that. And I know that some may be thinking that, wow, I get to have some leavened bread the next day. And we think of those kind of things. In fact, I had to do without my dipstick now for 7 days. You have something you dip in your coffee and you drink in every morning. And so you do those kinds of things. But I'd like to talk a little bit about another aspect that we've heard from time to time, I'm sure through the years. And that is, what ingredient do we need to continue to be unleavened before God? And why is it necessary to pray in Jesus' name? That gives us the clue right there. Why is it necessary to pray in Jesus' name? And why do we come to God through Jesus Christ? Why do we come to God through Jesus Christ? Because He is the one needed for us to continue to be unleavened as we approach the throne of God. I think most of us know, looking back and seeing the rituals that they had to go through back in under the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament time, and we can only come to understand more and more because of Christ Himself, who came on the scene for the New Covenant and gave us more information concerning how we can be closer to His Father and our Father. And I asked myself the question at the time, because we know that in Exodus, the 12th chapter, it talks about the fact that this month is the beginning of month. It says here in chapter 12 and verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of month, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." So now we're just getting started into this year, a holy year in the sense of a year that God had set in motion. And it's only through Jesus Christ and the sacrifices that they even had back at that time that they were able to get into what was referred to at that time, the Holy of Holies. They could not preside, that is, the high priest and the others could not preside until they had offered an offering, even, to be able to come in before God and to talk to God through that method of that particular time. And so what we're having now is another look at the spiritual part of it. And I'm not saying that God is calling first fruits just only in our time today, but it's uppermost in one's mind when you understand what Jesus is, and He is the first of the first fruit, which means others are going to follow. And I did a mental calculation as well, going back, because the Scripture says in Hebrews that righteous Abel, referring to righteous Abel, we have another sacrifice that's better than Abel's sacrifice, because he gave his life and shed blood. Now remember, even back in Abel's time, Abel had sheep. And so we ask ourselves the question, did they go by the same kind of time that we're going by today, back way back then? And I again read Genesis, the first chapter, and it says that God made the stars to give light at night and the moon to give light at night, and the sun to give, you know, light during the daytime. And I said, well, they had the sun and they had the moon and they had the stars back then too. And so God has used that method to even give us time. So we don't really know. Maybe they did have exactly what we have today way back then. We can't just say that, but we can say we know the moon was there. The sun was there. The stars were there. Until, of course, Genesis 1:1, before that time, there was a rebellion. God had to redo all of that and bring it back again. So we don't really know in some of those things, but it's not necessary in reality for us to know some of those things as what you would refer to as a doctrine of the church, or something that someone would feel is necessary for the salvation. So we have to see and recognize that The answer is that all along, like in this chapter here, chapter 12 of Exodus, you'll find that God told them to take a lamb and to sacrifice that lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost. Well, what does that represent? That's a physical thing, but it represented and looked forward to Jesus Christ shedding his blood, which is the real reason why that was given back then as depicting what would be happening in the future. Because you can't come before God except with that wonderful sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how we come before him, and the thing that they did back then was representing that, and so therefore they could come because it was Christ looking forward to his sacrifice that they see and actually work in the presence of God. I used to ask myself when I was doing a lot of studying in the Old Testament, why in the world did they have to do that? Why did they have to have the blood sacrifices? Why did they have to have a lamb killed? Why did they have to have a bull killed or a calf or the animals and so on? And when you look at it again, it's all referring to the future and what they were looking forward to. In fact, when Jesus died, doesn't the scripture say that this is what all of the prophets of old were looking forward to and never saw? But they knew that it was going to come. They knew that it was going to come into fruition. And, of course, Jesus Christ did come to do that. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter now. Hebrews, the second chapter, under understanding about Jesus Christ and how he fits into the days of unleavened bread. I think most of us have done research on that, and we saw what Jesus Christ did. Hebrews, the second chapter, because the second chapter of Hebrews tells quite a bit about the reality of the future and of Jesus himself and who Jesus was too as well. And I think most of us know too, when you go back to Abraham's time, he actually paid tithes to Melchizedek. So therefore Melchizedek, the high priest, has always existed in that sense because he gave that to him. When Jesus Christ was made Melchizedek again, We still have that same high priest that Abraham had even back at that time. And the biggest problem, and I'm using this scripture in Hebrews, the second chapter, to bring this to light again. The biggest problem we have is that we forget certain things along the way. And we were referring to this earlier in talking about how sometimes our memory goes away for a while and you can't remember certain things. And I thought, what if I forget to keep the Sabbath? I said, I hope I never get to the place where you would forget that. And I don't think God would allow that to happen because we are his children. And I believe that he would work something out on that particular part too, if he got to that. But he said, therefore we shall, verse 1, we shall give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We could let them slip. And it says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward for disobedience. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And to me that was a miracle too as well, that God could still use different men to say the same thing all through the ages, even down until now, and to say what was right and good, except for those who want to say what they want to say, and that happens too as well. And so, but God will take care of that. And God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders, with different miracles. You know, it takes miracles, it takes things of that nature to help the physical mind to see sometimes. It does take something like that to wake us up, to help us to see. Gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So God also uses each and every one of us through the power of his Holy Spirit to accomplish different things. Very mightily too, because it's an important work. I hope to get that message across, that all of us during this time recognize that we can be without what pulls us down, and that's the leavening of this world that pulls us down. And if we can continue on with the attitude and the spirit of Jesus Christ, then we'll be able to do the same thing. We'll continue on with the greatest work ever, and that means all of us. All of us are part of the greatest work yet to be accomplished, and to bring in the first fruits of God as well as the rest of the children of God throughout His whole plan of salvation, because God gave His Son for the whole world, not just for the first fruits. He gave Himself, His Son, and He gave His mind and power at that point willing to do that, to give His Son for that because of His love for all of us. And so then it goes on to say, for unto the angels which He not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? And notice it said, you made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet, under his feet. For in all that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we have to understand that all of us are going through someone who maintained and lived God's way on this earth, even as a physical human being, and yet never sinned. Remained perfect all the way through the trials and the tests that he received. And we have that same opportunity by using the power of God to make sure that we don't allow the leavening of this world. And that's why we're observing these days, to point out also too that the leavening of this world can deter you another direction. And a lot of people have had that happen. And we were discussing it the other day from the viewpoint of the fact that the church at one time that we had going was about 150,000 strong. And then all of a sudden, leavening crept in. And some of you actually saw and heard some of that leavening that came in of teachings and so on. They were not the teachings of Jesus Christ. They were the teachings that came from Satan and all of the cohorts that work with him. And so, therefore, that began to tear the church apart, and a lot of people fell for that. And my understanding is that about 60, if not 70% of that 150,000 just walked away. Why? Why? They allowed the leavening of this world to take them another direction. Rather than continuing on with the spirit and the power of Jesus Christ and continuing clear to the end of our time here on this earth in building the kind of character that we need to stay close to God. Let's go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter now. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And I just wanted to point out that during Abraham's time, he also served God and kept God's laws, commandments, statutes and judgments. Really interesting that Abraham kept God's laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments, of course, and all of the judgments and the statutes, like the holy days. And so it happened during his time too. In other words, all these things were in vogue during that time. Now we don't know the whole story. We don't know the whole story of it. But in verse 1 it says, this is Melchizedek, king of Salem. And, of course, that's Jesus Christ, again, being a part of this holy day service, priest of the Most High God who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. King of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of spoil. Now if you notice, back in the Old Testament times, they were always giving offerings to God. In other words, coming before God and giving an offering, and they couldn't do that in the New Testament time, even made it a little stronger, in the sense that if you have something against your brother, how can you bring your offering to God unless, first of all, you take care of yourself and make sure your attitude's right and make sure that that problem is solved, or at least you work on that. Not all those kind of problems can be totally solved, but at least you can do your part in working toward it and overcoming during that particular time. So the offerings that we have to give to God have to be holy and have to be given through the power and the stature of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way they can get to God. It's through Christ that all things are done. And that's why it's very important, even during these days. Yes, we think about the physical leavening, but we should think more about, as I said before in the other sermon, spiritual leavening. And I'm sure Mr. Evans will be saying things along the same line there. Because the spiritual leavening is what will kill us spiritually. If we allow those other type things to come in our minds and to direct our minds too as well. So we find here that it goes on to say, verily, verily, verse 5, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, had a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. And then a little later on, at verse 8, it says here, hear men that die receive tithes, but there is he who receives them, of whom it's witnessed that he lives. He lives. And so I say also to you, Levi, also who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Because Levi came out of Abraham's loins down the line. And so it goes on to say here that if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, and right now there is a move, by the way, on to try to bring back the Levitical priesthood. And there were some who actually even made the statement one or two times that we have somewhere in the Church of God today the seed of Zadok, you know, of the Levitical line. And once God gets ready to the place where he will do that, then he'll bring it forth again. And yet this says differently, doesn't it? It talks about Christ, not Levi. So I have to understand that there's a difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. The old covenant was something that pointed to the new covenant. So you don't need the old covenant anymore from that viewpoint. We need the new covenant and all the things that Jesus set forth under the new covenant. And then we can go forward. And that's why he says if perfection was therefore by the, verse 11, by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? And I think most of us know that the priesthood being changed, or actually moved back to what it was, because when it got down to the time of Moses coming out of the land of Egypt, God chose the Levitical line to be the one to officiate until a latter time, and of course referring to the new covenant. So for the priesthood being changed, there's made of necessity a change also of the law. For he who whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. And the reason is that it's referring to Christ, who came out of Judah. Came out of Judah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And so what we're doing now, we're seeing a lot of things hinge around Israel coming back, and even some nations are proclaiming that they have the 12 tribes of Israel, like the country of China. The country of China actually says that they have the 12 tribes of Israel living there. Okay, so and even the general, the Chinese general actually made the statement. He said the British had the 19th century and America had the 20th, and we will have the 21st century. And the reason is we are the older brother, Japheth. They know that. It's really amazing. It's amazing that some of the knowledge is coming forth now that before wasn't even there. And so we're seeing all kinds of things happening, and maybe perhaps that's one of the reasons why we can maybe speculate that we're getting closer and closer, aren't we, because of the things we're now seeing. And just recently we were discussing it as well, you know, about Mars and how that one of the ones who went to the moon actually said, we're going to be going to Mars. How do we know what God will allow all the human beings to do for the kind of training that he wants them to have in the future? Will we have leaders in the future that's going to zip around through the universe because they got a little bit of training on this earth? I don't know. I do know this. I know that we're going to be able to do it because we'll be spirit. We'll be spirit. And, of course, we'll be trained in some of those areas, too, as well. So let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Because in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it talks about the reality. Hebrews 12, and beginning in verse 22, it says, for you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, Paul was inspired to write it that way. God gave him the inspiration to say that. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the generally assembled, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. You know, we're part of the church of the firstborn. Can you picture what's happening in the future? And because we can come through Jesus Christ, even during these holy days, to learn more from the Father, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Wonderful, you know, statement of what is going to happen. But all of those, of course, who have the wrong kind of leavening in them are not going to be there unless they do some changing. And in coming again through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is active in the days of unleavened bread. He's active. And even was portrayed as being the one to begin at the Passover season and then on into the Holy Day season. And it was stated that the Apostle Paul made this statement in Corinthians 2, that you are unleavened, and it was through Christ that we were made unleavened. So you can understand that no one can go to the Father unless they are unleavened. And you could see the little examples along the way to show that, because like, for instance, the two angels who arrived at the door, or Lot's door, what did he feed them? Unleavened bread. What did Abraham do? You look back and you see, and they understood the principle that it had. When you come before God, you don't give them leavened bread, you give them unleavened bread. In other words, that's what God desires, and that's what God says too as well, that we can't let down. We just can't let down in doing that. We've got to make sure that we do our part. So we have to continue on with that, and as Hebrews says, they're not to turn away from it. Not to turn away from it. And to realize that Jesus Christ actually covers and actually represented all of the sacrifices that were given before. He was the one, you see, that was real, and what all the others were pointing to. And so we can believe that we are before him and can make our offering, and we are going to be taking up the offering today, and we can make our offering because we are unleavened. We are unleavened during this time because Jesus made us unleavened, and we came before him with that. But that's also what we need to do even in our individual lives too, is to make sure that we are unleavened along the way every time we come before God and pray to Him, that we don't have something that keeps us from getting to Him and talking to Him and believing in Him. So Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, as most of you know, verses 16 and 17, talks about Him making or telling us how to make the way to present ourselves to our Father. And let's go back and read that. Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. It's always good to read, because it brings it in focus back to your memory, and we won't forget it. And that's the trouble with today, is we tend to want to forget what God has said that we should be doing. And all of us need to recognize that sometimes that's what we do. We become a little draggy in our feet when we face the holy days, rather than planning for the holy days and planning for the offering that we're going to be giving. And that we're going to strive and recognize, especially the first holy day of the year has to do with being unleavened. And that's what we should strive for the rest of the whole year. So God gave that at the beginning of the month of the whole year, that would actually work throughout all the rest of the days too as well, to be sure that we are following that. But notice it says here that we are to come before God three times a year, and here we are. We're in the first time of the year that we've appeared before God. And it says in verse 17 that every man shall give as he is able, because the latter part of verse 16 says, he shall not come before me empty. Why are we coming? He's teaching us to do that. He's teaching us to be givers and to share, and even share with the rest of the world, because of the funds that we give help the word to go to all the rest of the world that we are in touch with. And hopefully that'll change, be a greater part as time goes on. And every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing the Lord your God has given you. So we don't have to worry about it, because the woman who gave just a small part of what she didn't have, she didn't have anything else. She had, you know, the one penny, and she gave everything she had. That's all she had. But she was willing to give what she had. And so we need to understand that we do that too from time to time, even when it hurts. We feel and recognize that God is far more important than this world system and everything that happens in this world system. So we need to recognize that our responsibility is to come before God, to honor Him, to keep His laws and commandments, to make sure the leavening is out, and to make sure that we are coming before our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ and through His name. Because that's why we are able to talk to Him. And to me, it was interesting when Jesus said, you pray through me to my Father, and I will tell Him what you've said, and He will do it. He will give it to you. Now, that's encouraging. That's encouraging to know that if we come through Jesus, who makes us unleavened to God, He will answer. He will answer. And so the next thing we have to do is we have to have the faith that Jesus had. And have to have the faith that He had, and we can't, because He'll give it. So it's a matter of determining and walking in that direction for that. So at this time we're going to be taking up the offering and the title of the offertory that we have here is My Lord,